It's good to hear what God does and how He does it, and we rejoice in it. Amen? We rejoice in salvation full and free. Take your Bibles tonight and turn with us to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah chapter 6, and beginning at verse 1. Isaiah 6 and beginning at verse number 1. And I want to speak tonight on the subject of ingredients for the worship experience. Ingredients for worship. The Bible teaches us that God wants us to worship Him. The Bible tells us that God is seeking those that would worship Him. Jesus said, "The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him." And if God is seeking for us to worship Him, then we need to know how. We need to know what the Bible says about that. Now we know we're to worship in spirit, and we are to worship in truth. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verses 1 through 8, we have the ingredients for a wonderful worship experience. The passage records for us the true worship experience of the prophet Isaiah as he worshiped the Lord, as he met with God. There are five ingredients that we're going to see tonight. These five ingredients are always present in true worship. And we'll see them as we study this passage, and we want to see how our worship, personal worship, and corporate worship stacks up to the Word of God. Isaiah 6 and verse number 1. We find the ingredient of God consciousness. Being conscious that God is sovereign, that God is king, that God is all in all, that He is the Creator and the Mighty One. Isaiah 6 and verse 1. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. His glory was evident," and His train, and you think of a king in his kingly garments, and the train, the wonderful beauty of it, filling that area. Isaiah was aware of something when he penned this. He was aware of the presence of Almighty God. God was present with him, and we need to be conscious of the presence of God. Our worship services ought to be a time of worship with God. It's a worship to God, but it's a worship with God. A worship with Him. We need to feel His presence in the worship service. I've been in some services that were dead and dry and cold. I don't like that. I want to be where God walks in the midst of His churches. I want to be in one of those churches where we worship in spirit and in truth. There has to be truth for us to have true worship. There has to be spirit for us to have true worship. And the Spirit, of course, is the Spirit of the Holy Spirit of God. And the truth, that faith, once delivered unto the saints. In the book of the Revelation, in chapter 1 and in verse 13, we see that the Lord meets with His kind of church. And Revelation 1:13 says, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. These are seven literal churches, seven candlesticks. Several churches are mentioned, seven in fact. And these seven churches are local, visible bodies. And we find the Son of Man there, clothed with a garment down to His feet. And girt about the paps with a golden girdle, His train also. Amen. Isaiah saw God the Father. We ought to see Jesus as well. Amen. We ought to see Him in our service. Look at chapter 2, verse 1 of the book of the Revelation. Revelation 2 and verse 1 says, unto the angel, the angelos, the messenger of the church at Ephesus, write, these things saith He that holdeth the seven stars in His hand. Those are the seven pastors. And He holds them in His hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Here we find Him walking in the midst of those churches. And I believe that. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ walks in His church. He walks in the midst of His kind of church. When we enter the building, we should want to experience the presence of God. When I go to church, and I know the church is the body, I know it's the people that make up that local body, but when I go to meet with them, I want God to meet with us. I want to feel the presence of God. I want God to move in our service. And when you come to church, you ought to take time to pray for the service. I've had people criticize me. I don't pray before I preach. But I had better have prayed before I started preaching. I'm not against those who do. That's fine. And that's all right. But friends, we better have prayed before we get here. And then we'll have several prayers while we're here. You better pray before. Have your heart prepared. Be prepared in prayer. Amen. For the presence of God, and be prepared to meet with God. We do so in the singing, which does help us. Good gospel singing. Good gospel songs. Good hymns. When we come to church, we ought to not have other things on our mind. We ought not be rushing in here. And sometimes we have to. I understand that. But friends, we ought to come settled on getting a blessing. Amen? The worship service, I believe, should be geared to help us with the presence of God. Ought to be geared that way. I don't believe church ought to be boring. Amen? It doesn't have to be boring to be right. It doesn't have to be boring to be good. It doesn't have to be ritualistic to be spiritual. Many times we go through a ritual and thinking that makes us spiritual. A lot of people feel spiritual because they've gone through a ritual. But no, it doesn't have to be that way. I don't believe any service ought to be just like the service that we had before. I believe every service is a new opportunity. It's a new experience. And after what we read here in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah was never the same. And we ought not ever be the same after we have a worship experience. There ought to be a change. When you've been in the personal presence of God, it makes a difference. It does. I believe we ought to seek God because He seeks us. He seeks us. He saves us. Then the Father seeketh such to worship Him. And we ought to pant after Him as the hart panteth after the water brook. We ought to be looking for worship, seeking to worship God. I love worship. Sometimes at Elliot, it's hard for me to close the service out because I just love being at church. I like being with God's people. I like being where God's put me. I told him that Sunday night. I said, I believe this is where God wants me. I like it here because God has a purpose. He has a plan. He has a work for us to do. And then in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 2 through 4, we find the ingredients of reverence. In verses 2 and 3, we see that there needs to be a deep respect and a reverence and an honor and a love and awe of God. Above it, and this is above the throne, stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." I'd love to hear that. I'd love to see those seraphim as they say those words. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Magnificent. I believe we're to respond to the presence of God with reverence. I believe that. It's all right to greet one another. It's all right to have a... I believe the Lord wants us to enjoy being together. But there ought to be a sense of reverence in our worship. And again, you've got to be careful that you don't have ritual. There's a difference between ritual and reverence, and some people get those mixed up. We can be reverent, and I believe when we're truly reverent, there's a joy that comes in us, not a sadness. When we see the awesomeness of God, it causes joy in my heart. To know that I serve an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He's awesome. We ought not be holding private conversations during the preaching. Amen? We ought not be up and down unless it's absolutely necessary. Sometimes it is. I understand that. But it ought not be a time where we're shuffling around and getting up and doing it. We ought to be here to listen and to be in reverence to the things of God. In verse 4, we see the awesomeness of the presence of God. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Some say that's the Shekinah glory of God that filled the house. We are to respond to the awesomeness of God, not only with reverence, but I believe there ought to be a reverent fear. A reverent fear. I do fear God. And I'm going to be truthful. I love God, but also fear God. And there's some things that I do not do because I love God and I don't want to do wrong. But I'm going to be very, very truthful with you tonight. There's some things I don't do because I fear God. I fear Him, and I believe that's a good thing for us. We're to fear God. As Isaiah 8 and verse 13 says, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear. I like that. I like the way that's worded. I like what it says. Let him be your fear. And let him be your dread. If you're going to fear anything, you fear God. If you're going to dread anything, you dread the wrath of God. You dread being out of fellowship with God. You dread not knowing His presence. Amen? You need His presence. Of course, as Andy and Kevin have told us, to have that presence within, you must know Him. You must be born again. You must know Him in a personal relationship. And then, as children of God, we're to fear Him. I believe we ought to check our spirit when we come into the place of worship. Some people don't like calling it the house of God's place where God's people meet. It's a place set apart, amen? I believe we ought to check our spirit. There at church, my office faces one of the parking lots, and the windows are kind of a, in the daytime, I can see out, they can't see in. And I watch people as they get out of their cars between Sunday school and church. Sometimes I'll go back in the office and I'll watch them as they get out of the car, and the kids are yanking around, and Mama's saying this to Daddy, and Daddy's saying that to her, and man, they're going, and I mean it. And make it around that corner. Man, when they come to the front door of the church, everybody gets a smile, and everybody, you know. And then they sing it, "Oh, how I love Jesus." And down inside, they're still fighting. Bubba couldn't find his shoes. Amen. Sis couldn't find her coat. Mama had a hard time finding her purse. The devil will fight you. You know what? He will. So we need to be sure our spirit is right. Be sure that we are right and conscious of what we're doing. Worshiping the Lord is what we're doing. And then in verse 5 of Isaiah 6, there is the ingredient of confession. Now, of course, we don't have to go to the confessional booth, do we? The veil has been rent from top to bottom. The way has been made, and we can go directly to the Father through the Son. Jesus Christ is my high priest. He is my mediator. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so I can go to Him, and He goes to the Father on my behalf. Amen. And in verse 5 it says, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts." He said those things because he'd seen the King. He said those things because he'd seen the Lord of hosts. So the third ingredient in true worship is confession. We need to confess our faults before God. We need to do that. I hear people say, "Well, dear God, if I've done anything wrong..." No, just go ahead and tell Him you're wrong. Amen? "Lord, I know I've had a bad attitude. I never will forget my nanny, but while she was living, made a trip out to Denver to see my sister, and sister's kind of sensitive, and my nanny got out there and she kept saying, you know, I can't hardly stand the attitude out here. This attitude's killing me." My little sister, she kind of teared up and said, "I thought the people were pretty nice and good." And nanny said, "No, this being so high up in the air, this attitude's killing me." She had her attitude and her altitude mixed up. But sometimes we don't have the right attitude. And we need to confess that. We need to get our attitude right, no matter what altitude we're at. Amen? We need to be sure and we need to be careful. I believe that it's important that we have confession as part of our worship. We need to confess not only our faults before God, but we need to confess our needs before God. Lord, I'm not where I ought to be. Lord, I need a closer walk. I need to be nearer unto you. Lord, help me that I be close to you. We need to confess that. Confess our faults. Confess our needs. And the closer we get to God, the more clearly we see who we are. And the more clearly we see our sins and we see our weaknesses. Dear friends, the closer you get to God, the more you see how weak you really are. It was when Isaiah had seen the Lord that he said, I'm undone. It was when Isaiah had seen the Lord that he said that he was a man of unclean lips. Needed to be reminded of that in the presence of God reminds us of that. That's why we meet together. The Word of God reaches down and touches our heart like nothing else does. The Word of God. There are a lot of folks who do not feel undone or unclean because they're not near to God. They're not close to God, so they don't see themselves as they really are. But the closer to God we get, the more we see our need for confession. We see a need to confess our fault to God, to go to the Lord. In Romans chapter 7, we read what the Apostle Paul had to say about this. I want to begin at verse 18. Paul said he struggled with sin, and that in his flesh there was no good thing. And dear friends, if this can be said about the Apostle Paul, I believe it can be said about me. Romans 7:18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not, for the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Have you ever been there? Well, I have too, I'll confess. I want to do right, I do. If I know, and it's hard for us to say if I know my heart, no man knows his heart, but if I know my desire is to be close to God. I really have no other desire. I mean, I want my life to please Him. I live for Him. I love Him, and the more I love Him, the more I can love those that I love. And if I put Him first, as I should, then I can love my family more than I could otherwise. But verse 20 says, now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. You know, we've still got an old nature. We still have to deal with that. I'm thankful I have a new nature that does not sin. But I've got an old nature that still does. And I have to deal with that. And verse 21 says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And it is. We're not going to be able to let up until we're dead. We've got to keep fighting the spiritual battle. We still have a struggle. And we need to see that and know that and understand that. These people that say they live above sin are lying. unless they have rented a room above a honky-tonk, then they can live above sin. The only way you could do it. We don't live above sin. We ought not willfully sin, but we still have an old nature, and we battle with that. But true worship will point that out to us, amen? And we'll see that. We'll understand that. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's the new man. That's the new nature. That's what I delight after the law of God in. Listen, after that night at East Howard Baptist Church in Biloxi, Mississippi, I've had a change in my life. It was a heart transplant. I got a new heart. And it delights in the law of God. I love the Word of God. I love the Word. After the inward man. But, verse 23, I see another law in my members. And it's like the law of gravity. It pulls me down. But I see another law in my members warring. Here's that battle against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. That's that old nature. So you need to understand that. And true worship will point that out. True worship will show you that, yes, there is this old man that we battle with. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, if you're not saved, you've just got an old nature. And that's what you please, is that old nature. But when you come to know Christ who died for our sins, was buried, and rose again, friend, you get help. Amen? Because you've got a new nature that's helping you and giving you strength. You've got Christ in me, the hope of glory. And how wonderful that is. So there's a need of confession. I confess tonight that I'm a sinner saved by grace. Then in Isaiah 6, and in verse 5, where Isaiah personally confessed his sin, where he said, I am undone. I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips. First of all, he was repentant. I am undone. There's some folks who never think they're ever wrong. They've always got to be right. Dear friends, when you see yourself as you are, you know that there are times when you're just wrong. I am undone. And he was honest. I am a man of unclean lips. He was honest about that. And he was humble. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. If that doesn't humble you, then nothing will. If you see the Lord, the Creator of the universe, understanding that He sent His Son that you might be saved, and that He would choose you, that He would call you out, that He would place His love on you. That'll humble you, amen? And then in verses 6 and 7 of Isaiah chapter 6, we have the ingredient of cleansing. After confession comes cleansing. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. Sometimes ladies will put these tongs in the salad. You know, you get the salad, have these tongs, and here's a hot coal taken with tongs from the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin is purged. You know what happened? Isaiah agreed with God. He agreed with God about his sins and God cleansed him. Now you won't be cleansed until you agree with God. Now that's repentance. You have a change of mind. You agree with God. I'm a sinner. I need cleansing. I believe there's repentance on the part of a Christian as well as on the part of a lost person. A child of God needs to be repentant. It's part of worship. We need to understand we need cleansing. We confess that and then cleansing comes and that's a part of worship. I believe we ought to leave here tonight a better people than when we came. I'm going to leave here tonight with a better understanding of the greatness of God after hearing Andy and Kevin. Love to hear the testimonies. It's important. Agree with God tonight about your sin. And as a child of God, ask Him to forgive you. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to do what? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Of course, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's the cleansing we get at salvation, but then we need cleansing as we walk through this world and our feet get dirty. We need our feet washed. We need to be cleansed. And then in verse 6, I love it where it says, then flew one of the seraphims unto me having a live coal in his hand. I'll tell you what, friends, sometimes it's a burning experience when we realize how wretched we really are and how we need to be cleansed and we confess our sin and God brings that cleansing. And friends, it's a burning experience. It's touching, is it not? But it's needed. It's needed. I worked in a grocery store. Two of them while I was in high school. And on Saturdays I would work in the produce department. And I was in the back bagging potatoes there in Ocean Springs and I had to reach up above one of the coolers to get a scale, and somebody had dropped something on that scale and had broken the glass. And when I reached up there, I cut my hand wide open. And I went to the meat market, because they kept band-aids and things, and I told them, I said, fellas, I've cut my hand. A little butcher in there named Pee-wee Steelman, Mr. Pee-wee said, let me see that hand. And he grabbed it and put it over a sink, and rinsed it out. Then he took salt and poured it in there and then closed it. And I cried. It hurt. It burned. He said, you'll thank me for that one day. He said, because that needs to be healed. And that burning that you feel is going to help that. It's going to be a cleansing. Well, all I wanted to do was pop him in the head at that time. But you know what? That did heal up. And sometimes that which is very hard on us is exactly what we need. Sometimes preaching gets hard on you, don't it? But that's what we need. Sometimes we need the salt poured in that we might heal. That's what we need. And then Isaiah 6 and verse 8, there is the ingredient of service. We don't need to leave that out. See, this is very important, this fifth ingredient, the ingredient of service. Notice in verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? I like that. Who shall go for us? Amen. Who's going to go for the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost? Who'll go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Isaiah quickly answered the call to service after he had truly worshiped the Lord. After he had been involved in worship, he answered the call. And I believe all of us here are called to service. You may not be called to preach, or may not be a teacher or whatever, but every one of us are called to serve the Lord. And we're to do that. Preachers give invitations so people will have an opportunity to respond. Whatever God's dealt with you about, but let me tell you something. I would rather see how you walk tomorrow after you leave here than see you coming down here and then walking the same way you did today tomorrow. I don't base the success of ministry on how many people come forward. Success of ministry is what happens when you leave this place. You see, you come here to worship and you leave here to serve. You go out there on that job. You go out there to that place of business, out among those that you deal with, the school or wherever, and you serve the Lord. The divine order is this: worship, then service. There are those who are trying to be parachurch and bypass the church, and they're trying to have some kind of a service away from the church. That's not the order. The order is worship in the midst of one of the Lord's churches, and then go out and serve the Lord. And I believe this: worship that does not promote service is not true worship. It's not. It's just superficial. When we truly worship the Lord, when we experience true worship, then we want to serve the God we adore. We want to serve Him. Do you attend services or do you worship? I can only worship because I've come to know the One that I worship. You see, you have to know Him. You have to know Christ who died for our sins, who was buried and who rose again. You got to know Him before you can experience worship. And then you need to worship Him. Oh, worship the King. My desire to worship Him. And again, it doesn't have to be ritualistic. God loves His people. He loves to see a smile on their face. You know it? We don't have to be humdrum and dead. Because we're not dead. We're alive. We've been made alive after the inward man. And how marvelous that is. We need to worship the King. God bless you.